It's Monday night and time to talk football. Welcome to the High School Football Report. Now, here's your host, Chris Beckham.
Broadcasting live from the Citizens Community Bank Studios on this Monday night, this is the High School Football Report, presented by our friends at Ray Norton Tire and Auto. I'm Chris Beckham. Thanks for joining us on this sweltering Monday. Man, it has been hot outside today. I think summertime is not here for another couple of weeks, but don't tell that to Mother Nature. It feels like summertime outside right now. Thanks for joining us on this Monday night. Glad to be along for the ride. 10 weeks, is that right? 10 weeks and 4 days away from the beginning of high school football season in South Georgia. Lots to talk about on this Monday night. Coming up right after our first break, we're going to be joined by Randall Godfrey. He's going to be talking about his upcoming camp here at Lowndes High School, which is just 1 week from Saturday. We'll give you all the information on how you can get your kids involved in that and everything that Randall and others have planned for that camp coming up right around the corner. Also, later on, we'll be talking to the head coach of the Colquitt County Packers, Rush Probst, who just finished up their spring practice last week. Did not have a spring game. Well, they did have a spring game, an intra-squad scrimmage. No spring game against anyone else. But we'll be talking to Coach Probst about the spring and about what's going on this summer and the prospects for 2018 for the Colquitt County Packers. We'll also take a little look at recruiting, the latest offers, and there have been some big ones for some South Georgia players over the last week, so we'll tell you more about that as well coming up. And we'll be taking your phone calls on the Kerrigan Davis hotline, 229-241-1059, coming up in just a little while as well, so you can chime in and be a part of the show. Also want to remind you, you can like us on social media, on Twitter at HSF Report on Twitter, and also at the High School Football Report on Facebook as well. Like us there. We post things throughout the week, including if you happen to miss part of our show, we'll have our full podcast coming up after having some problems. Thanks to my man Ed for getting all that worked out. And we will have our podcast up about 7:30 tonight of tonight's show, and past shows are up there as well. So lots to talk about on this Monday night, and we'll do it when we come right back. Randall Godfrey will be joining us right after this. Stay tuned as we broadcast live from the Citizens Community Bank Studios. This is the High School Football Report, brought to you by Ray Norton Tire and Auto, and we'll have more right after this.
And now, more of the High School Football Report. Here's Chris Beckham.
All right, once again, broadcasting live on this Monday night from the Citizens Community Bank Studios. It's the High School Football Report, brought to you by Ray Norton Tire and Auto. We've already been contacted by folks listening in the Lakes of Lake Park all the way up to Washington State via the WVGA app. We appreciate them and everybody in between. And they all come tuning in from across the country because they want to hear from the man himself, the legendary, my friend Randall Godfrey. Randall, how are you, man?
Oh, man, I'm doing great. How are you, Chris? Can you hear me
honestly? You sound just great, man. And thanks for joining us, man. It's a busy time of year for you, because I know you're getting ready for this camp, but probably busier because you got kids out of school now, man. They're all over the place.
Yeah, that's the crazy part when you got three kids in three different locations the same day. So my wife and I are staying busy, but I'm loving every minute. I'm glad they're out of school and getting, you know, enjoying the summer. And of course, this is my favorite time of the year, getting ready to come to Valdosta for my annual football camp. So I'm actually excited about that.
I tell you, the 18th annual, that doesn't even seem possible, Randall. This has been going on that long, but the thousands and thousands of kids have gone through this camp, many of them several times over, and we hope that that's the case a week from Saturday. It's going to be at Lowndes High School, the All-Star Football Camp. And, Randall, tell folks what you have in store for all the kids this year.
Well, I tell you what, we're going to have a great time. You know, I'm still trying to confirm all players that are currently playing, but you'll see a couple of old heads there, you know, a couple of my old teammates. But we're going to have a good time, man. I'm going to bring in a few guys, and we're going to have the head coaches from the different high schools locally come out and say a few words, you know, kind of motivate the kids to sign up for rec ball and get ready for middle school and, of course, you know, preparing them for high school. So it's going to be an exciting time. I tell the parents, bring your kids out. I mean, what I appreciate most is just seeing guys that started, you know, 10, 15 years ago now, coming back and working the camps. And that's just great, you know, because they give the same success stories and they got their diploma, some of them in college. But it's always good to see guys you made a difference in that, you know, that you made a difference in their lives and come back and just give back to the kids. So we're going to have an exciting time. I expect maybe 150 kids at the most, and going to have lots of prizes, man. I tell you, WWE just sent some boxes, and NFL has sent some boxes, and of course, my funeral home donates quite a bit of items, including PlayStations and bikes and everything else. So we're gonna have an awesome time, man.
Again, it's going to be Saturday, June 16th there at Lowndes High School, and I'm going to give you this a couple of times during the conversation. You can sign up a couple of ways. First of all, you can go to Randall's Facebook page. He has the flyer posted there. You can also go to RandallGodfreyFoundation.com, and that's got all the information there as well. It's only $5. Randall, there are three things I like about this camp a lot, and I think kind of sets yours apart a little bit. Number one, you really emphasize kids having fun. That's what it's all about. That's why you started playing football many years ago, and that's why most kids do, and you guys keep it a lot of fun. You really emphasize safety for parents who sometimes, you know, are worried about that kind of thing. I know you've done this so many times. You know the correct way to do it and to keep the kids safe. And the third thing I like about it, and I think the kids really like this, is you divide them up depending on if they're a quarterback or a defensive lineman or a linebacker or whatever. You do kind of specific to those positions, some drills, and I think that really helps these kids.
Yeah, we try to rotate them in different groups. You know, it's too early to kind of tell what these kids will end up playing in high school, but we kind of rotate them around, let them play a little quarterback, and then we've got D-line drills. So we have position drills at every station geared toward, you know, linemen, quarterbacks, running backs in different positions. And, you know, of course, the kids have a good time. And then we end the day with a game of football. We let them scrimmage each other and go at it. And, of course, we give out a few prizes to the, you know, to the top athletes there. And, of course, everybody. That's what I love about it, because everybody's going to go home with a goodie bag full of some nice items. So regardless of what happens that day, your kid is going to come home with some nice items donated. I tell you that.
And, Randall, of course, even though you were a great player at Lowndes and an all-conference player at Georgia and had a great long career in NFL, I know that, first and foremost, you're a football fan. And so I'm sure there have been Friday nights where you've been watching games or keeping up with games, and somebody will make a big play, and you say, hey, that kid was in my camp. I remember when he came through our camp, and that's got to be a great fulfilling feeling for you.
Oh, it's always good, especially when you see guys like J-Rome and, you know, Greg Reed have success, and Kelvin, and all those guys that went through my camps, and so many others, man. You know, I'm always happy, and I cheer for all our kids out of the Lowndes County area, and just pray they can stay healthy and have success, and you know, live their dream. You know, that's one thing I encourage the kids when they come out to the camp, just to work hard, set goals, and you never know what's going to happen, man. It's not easy, but we just give them the formula. We stress academics and staying out of trouble and just doing the right thing and working hard and seeing, you know, seeing the benefits at the end if hopefully you get a scholarship somewhere. That's our main thing, because it's an opportunity, especially in Lowndes County. Everybody wants to come to Lowndes County and recruit. So we start these kids early, building them and getting them mentally ready to play and encourage them to stay positive, just showing them the positive things that can possibly happen when you see guys come back and give back, and you have an opportunity to do the same thing. So that gives kids motivation. So that's what these camps are all about.
Again, Randall Godfrey's All-Star Football Camp, Saturday, June 16th. They're at Lowndes High School. Again, go to his Facebook page, find that information. Also, RandallGodfreyFoundation.com. And I want folks to remember now, this starts at 8:30 in the morning. You guys go all the way through to 4:30. What do parents need to do as far as what time do they need to drop them off and all that kind of stuff?
Well, I tell you what, we'll be up there around 7:30 getting kids registered, late registries. Don't worry about the extra $5. Everybody's getting in for $5 this year. So we're going to have late registration. We'll be up there at 7 or 7:30 registering kids and just getting them signed up. So parents bring them out. They can have football cleats or either tennis shoes. We'll be on the turf inside Martin Stadium. It's non-contact, so you don't have to worry about no pads. You know, we'll have plenty of fluid for the kids to drink, you know, plenty of water for the kids to drink. So, you know, we're just a babysitter for quite a few hours there for $5, you know, drop them off for a day of fun. And we got them all day, parents, and we send them back tired to you.
You just put a smile on every parent listening to this, Randall, because that's the deal of a lifetime, not to mention the kids are going to have a great time. Give me the ages. What age group are you going to have there on Saturday?
I think it's 6 to 16 on the card there. We're going to have 6 to 16. And so, we turn no one away. But, yeah, I think that's the age. But.
And I do want to remind people, if your child has never played football, that's okay. Come on out. They're going to have a great time. Again, they're going to go all through the drills. They get to do everything. They get great instruction. They have a lot of fun. Tell them to bring their friends. Again, only $5 a head. And, again, if they've never played football, that's okay. You're going to give them the basics. And so if they want to do that in the future, they'll be ready to do it.
Yeah, you know, just growing up in Valdosta, that's all we had. That's all we dreamed about, to either play for the Lions Vikings or the Valdosta Wildcats. So that was just a big thing on Friday nights. And we got to get that motivation going in these kids where they look forward to playing and wearing that, you know, that those uniforms on Friday nights. And, you know, we got to keep these kids motivated to play because that's what our city is all about, when you can bring everybody together on Friday nights and you have thousands of people watching in those stands. And that's just so exciting. So that's what I love doing and love seeing these kids on Friday nights to play, you know.
Again, Randall Godfrey joining us on the Kerrigan Davis Hotline on this Monday night. And, Randall, I got to ask you, and first of all, I want to say, because you're going to be too humble to say it, but this is something you've done for 18 years. You live in the Atlanta area. I know you come down here occasionally for family and that kind of thing, but this is not something that you have to do. This is something that I know you like to do, but this is an awfully big, there's a lot of work that goes into putting this on, and it's an awfully big thing that you do to provide for kids in this area. So I just want to say thank you, because I know it's probably a lot more work than anybody has any idea to put this thing together, but you do it very generously, and we really do appreciate that. And we hope we have a big turnout. And I think that we will once again. And I got to ask you, I know it's been probably since about this time last year since we last talked to you, but I know after, you know, you're a great Georgia Bulldog, I know the past season has had to be just incredible to see the success. And I know, like the rest, or most of the rest of us, there's a Tide fan here or there, but we're just heartbroken at the end of that national championship game. But, wow, what a year, and how a long way Kirby Smart's Dogs have come in a very short time.
Man, I tell you what, it was an experience of a lifetime. I was able to attend 4 games, you know, the SEC Championship, the Rose Bowl, and of course, and I think I went to the Florida-Georgia game also. So they were all exciting games, man. And I tell you, it was an experience, man. I compliment Kirby and the staff for doing a great job of having the team prepared. You know, we fell short at the end, but, you know, to make heads about, I mean, they brought the state together. Everybody, you know, going to experience this for quite a few more years. You know, I think, you know, it's going to be Alabama and Georgia again in the SEC championship, and there's going to be another opportunity for us. But what I like about Kirby, he's not, you know, looking back on last year. He's getting ready for the first game and preparing the kids one game at a time. And I've been up to watch him a couple of times, so he'll be ready to go, I tell you that.
And he's a South Georgia guy, so he knows what real football is all about. So that's a good thing. So
yeah, it's always good when you see Kirby. And then you see his dad come through there, Coach Smart, who he coached against me when I was – he was at Bainbridge, and I was at Lowndes back in the days when Lowndes and Bainbridge used to play. So it's always good to see a lot of old heads there. And we just get back behind Kirby, and we support it, man. He's doing a great job. He's got the guys ready to play, especially, man, this new recruiting class. Boy, there's some big kids, man.
No doubt about it. Yeah. And all this talk about recruiting. I remember when they were recruiting young Randall Godfrey out of Lowndes High School. And I think it was Frank Orgel was the guy back then who, I think we lost Randall there for a minute. So we'll try to get Randall back. But I remember when they were recruiting Randall big time as well. And it turned out well for Georgia. It turned out well for his career in the NFL and certainly what he's giving back to here in Lowndes County. As you heard, we had something happened with our phone line, and Randall got cut off, but we got the word out, and we're going to continue to remind you of it. We'll share it on our social media as well. Parents, if you got kids who want to play football, 6 to 16, it's only $5 a head, and if that's a problem, don't worry about it. Bring the kids. We're going to have a great time Saturday, June 6th at Lowndes High School. It all begins 8:30 a.m. Registration starts around 7:30, anytime between 7:30 and 8:30. Bring them on out. RandallGodfreyFoundation.com. You can go to that website. We'll share it on our social media as well, and we hope to have another huge turnout. And I know that we will. And, again, thanks so much to Randall for making this a possibility and another big success here in Wintersville, USA this year. All right, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk to another guy who knows a little bit about winning, Coach Rush Probst with the Colquitt County Packers. He'll be joining us right after this on the Kerrigan Davis Hotline, so stay tuned as we broadcast live from the Citizens Community Bank Studios. This is the High School Football Report brought to you by Ray Norton Tire and Auto. We'll have more right after this. Once again, broadcasting live from the Citizens Community Bank Studios on this Monday night, it's the High School Football Report presented by our friends at Ray Norton Tire and Auto. Joining me now live from somewhere on the road is the head coach of the Colquitt County Packers, Coach Rush Probst. Roach, how are you?
Hey, Chris. How are you doing? I'm good. Good thumbs.
Always good to catch up with you. I know it's a busy time of year. A lot of folks think, well, spring is over and you get a little time off, but that's not the case these days. I know you've been on the road the last couple of days.
Yeah, we finished up spring last Thursday, and then we left early Saturday morning about 5 a.m., actually about 4:45, heading to Mississippi football camp, this prospect camp, and I had a group in South Alabama, and then we got a group on Wednesday, two different places, maybe three different places. And so it's a busy week for camp stuff. We're off this week. Our players are as far as actual football-related activities. You know, we just got put camps is a big thing for this week to help the kids. You know, it's what recruiting's turned into. We talked about it for one on the air. It's something you got to do.
That's right. You've got a lot of prospects who a lot of college coaches are interested in. As a matter of fact, I saw just a couple of hours ago, Jay Ward participating in the camp at University of Alabama and picked up an offer while he was there. So one of the many big stacks of offers that a lot of your players have gotten, but that's great for Jay.
It's big. I think, you know, the issue more than anything is he's on their radar spring pretty heavy now, and although he had a good camp, Coach likes his length, and Coach Saban, actually, he worked with him and Naquan Washington, the junior, which also received an offer. Cam Bell, who had an offer for several months. But I think more than anything, I think Cam solidified his deal, and I think Washington got on the radar as a 2020 guy. But Jay Wood probably rose to the top pretty good. From a standpoint, he's got good length. He's got a brother that's been very successful in college football. He's had cousins that played at Georgia and other places. And I think with that being said, that interests a lot of people. And Jay's got a chance to come into the season and play really well. And I think he's number one on Kentucky's board. Mississippi State's offering. So West Virginia, Pittsburgh, there's a lot more. You know, Iowa State, a lot of Power Five schools, but most kids, they want to play at the Elite ACC or SEC schools.
Yes, certainly. And again, that kind of brings us back to your spring practice because you got so many guys back from that team to play for the state championship last year. Some holes to fill here and there, but for the most part, you had a very experienced bunch coming back in the spring. Tell us how your thoughts on the spring, including your inter-squad scrimmage that you did to wrap it up.
Well, I mean, inter-squad, but, you know, for us, it's better, and the decision we made, we couldn't find the ball game, which we didn't. We had several schools, I'm not going to call by name, but several schools that sort of led us astray for a long time and dropped us and led us astray and then dropped us. So I wish the state would go to a contract for spring because it really hurts, you know, that you think your kids are going to be playing. You tell your kids something, you're going to play, and then all of a sudden you don't play. You know, in Alabama, we had quit contract. We got a contract, and important should be where in this state, it's sort of a gentleman's agreement, and it really it bothered me a little bit. So we could have played maybe somebody. I don't know who. I mean, I'm just throwing that out there. But I think it's better for us to play each other at times that we're pretty competitive. Defense versus offense is real competitive, and maybe sometimes you get a little out of it and you want to get a team that maybe is not as doesn't have the quality athletes that you have.
Yeah, and again, it seems like a lot of that is for the fans because they want to see you stack up against somebody else. And I'm sure the players, you know, want to see somebody else on the other side of the line of scrimmage. But you're right, with the talent that you have, they probably got no better workout than what they got at MacTharp Stadium last week. Who stood out? Of course, you've got a lot of known quantities on players who are coming back from last year. But did anybody take this opportunity this spring to stand out?
We had several guys that screened. I thought that Marcus Anderson really stepped his game up, you know, as a linebacker. He started for last year, but I think he's in the college football thoughts of recruiters because he had a good year, he had a good spring. And, you know, obviously the same old guys that are pretty good and that played a lot last year are going to be good. I mean, Ken Woods was not a starter last year. He was a partial player at safety. And he's going to solidify that position very well. Obviously, got two Division I SEC corners, one a senior, one a junior, and that helps a bunch. So now you can do a lot of stuff in the box and get away with some things that, because you've got such good players on the edge. Brian Merritt did not go through spring because of a foot injury, but he'll be back full go next week. Nathan Bell, defensive lineman, got hurt about 4 days into spring. We held him the rest of spring. So, 2D linemen did not go through spring. That wouldn't be a big part. Nathan Bell's a 2020 kid, too, but Merritt being a very dominant nose tackle for us. And then, but right now, solidified Kendrick Nellum's kid, who probably end up starting for us at the linebacker spot. Had some spot play last year, but he's going to end up being the guy. Marcus Anderson coming back at the wheelbacker, and Rashawn Revels will play the what we call the buck or the sandbacker. And then on the edge, we've got obviously Kamari Lewis back and Akeem McKeever back. The McKeever kid, he played a good bit last year with our backup to Dante Moore. Well, we got two guys right behind him, too, Chris, that I think could play too, Juwan Williams and Samari Lewis, that both those guys, all four of those guys are interchangeable at three spots. And we got really five players that I'm comfortable with in those three spots. So we're nearly two deep, really good football players, and all five of them are seniors now. Up front, we're going to play with about 6 to 7 linemen that we feel good about playing in three spots. Safety spot, like I was telling you about, we'll have a guy that'll have to double up. Our two corners we've already talked about, with a young corner, it's really talented, it'll be a backup, and then maybe the senior kid will be the other backup, so we'll be too deep there. So we'll be too deep at every position, maybe not the safety spot. We'll have to double up. So we'll be 21 deep that we feel good about playing, and then you add in about one more linebacker. I think we'll play 7, if not 8. And all we do is I'm rocking him, whether he plays down or up. And then I think we'll play with 7, maybe 8 D linemen. Now, some are better than others, obviously. But, again, it gives us a lot of depth. We've got 38 seniors, so feel good about that. You know, and everybody knows about our kicker. He's a Division I kicker. And I think he's going to camps. I know he's at Georgia Tech yesterday, Georgia the day before. He's heading to every SEC, ACC school. So I feel good about him. And he deals up. He punts also. So Ryan is an outstanding kicker, one of the best I've been around. He's an SEC kicker. Offensively, Chris, I think everybody knows about our two running backs. I mean, you know, Edwards will be the top back in his class, in the 2020 class right now, and Georgia's got the lead on him. He is going to go to Clemson on Wednesday. Ty Leggett, another Division I running back, several offers. So both those will tandem the running back spot. And we really got two more backs behind them that are really good, too. So if not, if we got two more, if not three more, if you count our freshman back, we have five running backs that can play. And receiver-wise is where we start to fall off a little bit. We got Marvion McDonald, starter coming back, KQ Wilson, starter coming back. But we've taken Marvion and moved him. He's battling for the quarterback spot. So with that being said, people like some Mickey Brockett and Oz Graves are trying to earn that spot. Desmond Davis got a long way to go. He missed football last year. Eligible to go this year, 6'2", wide and flat out. And then we got the young Sanders kid that's a freshman, a true freshman. We got a Walker kid, Tyler Walker, that I think Guy Rick Williams. I just keep naming them. and then you throw the offensive line in there, Chris. You know, it's led by Chris Campbell and Will Riker. And Cam Barnes. Cam Barnes received an offer on the weekend from Shore University. So we have three guys up front play college football on the next level. One of them in the SEC and the other one Division I. So we've got depth on the offensive line for the first time ever. I feel like we've got seven or eight guys can play. But Riker didn't go through spring. Cam Barnes didn't go through spring. So those two. The other two people got all the work, so it makes it even deeper. Tight end wise, I feel real good about Josh Hadley, another kid that I think is a Division I football player at tight end. Carter Boatwright, a 2020 kid, about 6'4.5". Tight end Ramon Young, another tight end, top tackle. You know, there's 2020 kids. So the key to us is our quarterback, Chris. That's that, you know, J.C. Harden right now. Where we're at with that is going into spring. I thought he would emerge as the guy right now. It's still his job to lose, but Marvion McDonald and him will battle out through 7-on-7 at OTA camps through June, and then we'll reassess the situation at the end and see where we are.
Again, Coach Russ Probst joining us tonight on the Kerrigan-Davis Hotline talking about the Colquitt County Packers spring. And Coach, you kind of answer the question, because with so much depth and so much talent in all those positions, quarterback does seem to be the key. You go through the 7-on-7s. I know you have a lot of those lined up this summer. Is there a time, and I'm sure you've done it different ways in the past, but is there a time where you and your staff would like to have a starting quarterback and that settled on? Is it during 7-on-7s? Is it during preseason? Or do you mind going into the season still with that competition going?
I don't mind going into the season. Competition going. I mean, I've done it a lot of different ways based on the makeup of your team and how they can handle it. I think with this football team, it's pretty experienced. Got a lot of different personalities, a lot of different, just different in not maybe not philosophy, not the word I'm looking for, but it's just these kids right here. I don't think it bothers our football team at all if we're not settled at quarterback spot. Mm-hmm. For some teams, you'd worry about that. I don't think this team worries about it, because it's a position to where I think our defensive football team feels good enough and confident enough to win defensively. I think our offensive line and our running backs feel real good about the run game. And if we got to win the old-fashioned way and let's take the quarterback out of it a little bit, then, you know, my ego's not big enough that I've got to throw it every snap, like most people think I've got to. So we'll line up and we'll run the football, play great defense, pin people deep within the kicking game, and go back some time and possession and keep our offense on the field and build some clock, play football.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. With that much talent on defense, that offensive line, those two running backs, and all that, I think that's going to give you the luxury of allowing some of those quarterbacks to grow up and to kind of, you know, evolve into that position, whether it's going to be Harden or McDonald or whoever it is. They're going to have some time that a lot of other teams wouldn't have that luxury. But going back over the last several years, this is a little bit of a different position that you and your staff are in, because whether it was Steven last year or Chase or Jay or, you go all the way back, there's always been kind of the guy who you thought it was going to be, and that's not necessarily a bad thing, but it is a little bit different than it has been in recent years.
It is. It is different. But, you know, I've been there before, Chris. I've had it done. I go all the way back to 2000. I did not know who my quarterback was going to be, and he ended up having a great year. I did not know who my quarterback was in 2001. I did know in 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, I did not know. And then when I've gotten down here, it's been pretty well, like you said, you sort of know most of the years, but this is an unusual year. But at the same token, competition sometimes brings the best in people. Yeah. And I think that can I can help JC or and hopefully make him a better player.
Well, when you talk about competition, Coach, we've been talking some about schedules since they came out. And when I look at yours, I tell you what, Packer fans are going to be treated to great games every single weekend of the season. When you look at just, of course, in Region 1, 7A, we all know what that's like. But, you, of course, you start off with McEachern and the Corky Kell Classic. This Trinity Catholic team, I don't know if a lot of folks in South Georgia realize the quality of this team coming in from Missouri. I was looking at the top 200 recruits nationally. There are only three in that top 200 from Missouri, and two of them play for Trinity Catholic. So this is going to be a great team that's going to come down on August the 25th. Then, of course, Zach's team from Thomasville, which had a great year last year, a guy who you know very well, Valdosta, Atwater, Rama, Zach Grayson. Goodness, Coach, that's a matter of fact, we did a rating of all the toughest schedules in the state of Georgia. Looking at last year's one-loss record, the Cochran County Packers have the toughest schedule in the state coming into this year, and that's and I know you set it up like that for a reason.
Yeah, I think, you know, with our depth like it is, and when we can absorb some things, you know, obviously when you look at, you know, Alabama and what they did last year with losing 46 starts from different starts throughout the year, you know, and it finally caught up with them one game, but and it will. You don't ask for injury, but, you know, we do have depth. And hopefully we can spread the wealth out a little bit, and hopefully the depth and the numbers will take over and make us a very competitive football team come down the stretch run. Because it's all about the stretch run and how you prepare for that. And I think the games that we play early in the season make us a better football team. It sharpens our tools, sharpens our mind, so to speak. And to me, that makes us better.
No doubt about it. Again, Coach, talk a little bit about your summer specifically. Where are you going to be going to some OTAs and some 7-on-7s?
Well, the OTAs will have at our place for the most part. I think we've got the facility to host any OTA and probably have the best facility of anybody with the number of fields and not worrying about rain or lightning or bad weather or heat or anything else with the indoor. And then you throw the 7-on-7s, we'll head to Auburn on the 14th. We'll go up to the Corky Kell Classic 7-on-7, which has been a very competitive 7-on-7. Actually, they've had it, I think, 3 years, and we've won it 2 out of 3 years. We lost in the finals last year, the semifinals. I don't remember the Corky Kell, but semifinals. But I think that's competitive. I saw all the good things in Atlanta, and people ask me all the time, well, why don't you go up there and show off your deal? Well, you know, we get educated, too. You know, we get educated. We see other teams. That I just hope that we do a little bit better job of scouting than our opponent does. And so that helps us. And then from there, got a couple OTAs in the month. So that'll be 4 days of competition against other schools, 2 7-on-7s, 2 OTAs. Pads on, and then we'll break for a week, and then we'll come back with the Hoover 7-on-7. And this may be the last time we go over there, but, you know, I just feel strong that we probably need to see that type of competition again with our quarterback situation. And then after that, we'll try to have one ourselves and the following year in 19, because we have facilities to do it. And then we'll finish it with a 3-day OTA. And then, to be honest with you, Chris, you only got 2 weeks in July. And then, for the most part, then you start acclimation period. And then it's football practice, regular football practice.
Just jump right into it. It won't be long before we're here. Again, 10 weeks from this Friday night, we'll be kicking it, well, 10 weeks from Saturday night, I should say, or Saturday, you guys will be kicking it off for real with the season opener. Coach, with so many guys coming off of last year's team to play for a state championship and got right down to the final minute, and we all know how that ended, do they use that or do you use that with them as motivation, or does that kind of go away and now we're headed to a new year? How much do you play on trying to get back where you were last year?
You know, coaches talk all the time about that, but they don't use and they don't believe in revenge. And every year is a new year, and they throw all those scenarios out there. But that's basically hogwash. Kids learn by failure, and they learn by success, and you know, one or the other. And I think you got to spin it, however way you use it. If you win it, you got to spin it. If you lose it, you got to spin it. And so, you know, our big motto is don't waste the failure. And, you know, if we don't come back and bounce back with great attitudes and great work ethic, which we've had, and go out and have that killer instinct and that just grit that you got to have to win the type of ball games you're going to play in this year. I mean, we're going to be different now. We're going to be a different football team and in a whole different way than I've done. It's probably been 20 years since I've done it this way. And I'll probably go back all the way to my Mobile year of 1998. And I think if you know anything about the history of that team, in 98 we had a sophomore quarterback and had a great running back, two of them actually, and a dang good defense. Mm-hmm. And I had a pretty dang good kicker too, believe it or not. It's ironic that that was 98 to 2018. But that's sort of what we're going to be. And so we'll spin this thing from a negative to a positive, and our team's got to understand. You sit in that locker room last year at the end of that game and how that game ended, that should be enough motivation to sell for a lifetime. I mean, you can put that and box it up and make a bunch of money. But, but it goes back to our 13 year. In 13, that's the most devastating loss I've been around, too. Man. I mean, we lost to Norcross in a game we felt like we should have won. And actually should have been pretty good, two or three touchdowns. Mm-hmm. And we played in a sloppy mess, lightning delay for an hour and a half, terrible field conditions. Game should have never been played. Would not have been played in the other state. I mean, state would have stepped in and said, it's unplayable, we'll play it tomorrow night, or we'll move it to another site that can be played. But the danger of that particular night really bothered me. And we've got a different administration now in the state office, and hopefully they'll have a better opinion of how that should be done. But this is not the 1970s or 1980s, or even the 90s for that matter. I mean, we've got better fields and better stadiums, and things need to be done better. But that game stuck me pretty good now. And then our players were so devastated, it lasted for 2 years. That shot went for 2 years. We used that for 2 years, and that's when we won 30 in a row.
I know you've been vocal in the past about how things have gone with the Georgia High School Association and some of the decisions that they have made in the last year since Robin Hines, a former Cockwood County coach, now the director of the GHSA, since he has taken over. Have you had discussions with him about things that you feel should be changed, and do you feel the direction is better now?
Well, I mean, I think the direction's fine. I mean, there's nothing wrong with the direction of our association. I think that the issue last year upset a lot of people. There's no question about that. But they had to make that decision what they felt like was best. And I think whether I agree with it or disagree, I didn't agree with it. But I wasn't the only person. I mean, Ron didn't agree. Coffee didn't agree either. Uh-huh. And I just think anytime you have a state championship, that it should be played in a neutral site. I mean, that's what we've done. That's why no question. When you play a game in somebody else's house, there's going to be some factors that happen that don't help you. Mm-hmm. That's what's called home field advantage. That's why you don't play championships in no state, nowhere. Everything is going to be neutral site. And I know Alabama's talking about going to neutral site back to the semis because of the same. But there's so much financial reward nowadays, Chris, with winning for your school, and I just think it needs to be rethought a little bit and have a good plan. And I think they'll get that right. I think they'll figure out, hey, we can't have this issue again. And You know, it was just tough to play in front of 4,000 people.
Yeah.
At North Gwinnett. I mean, you say what you want, but at the end of the day, I know people say I'm not a big believer in playing on grass and all that kind of stuff, but the bottom line is, when you look up in the stands and your kids look up in the stands, it felt like a first or second round game.
Mm-hmm.
And for North Gwinnett, it may not have, because they're playing at home.
Right.
But for our kids, who've been in a bunch of environments, I mean, it was tough. And I mean, that was a tough sale, and we were ready to go the week before. Our kids were excited about the bins, and boo-hoo I got from all the people over across in the other state, you know, the calls, the, listen, hey, we need a place to play. We got a place to play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't have a $1.6 billion dome. We played outside in a driving snowstorm.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I heard all that. And, you know, so there's, but again, I'm one on the inside, and I don't know what Robin faced with the decision. I'm sure he made the best decision he had to make at the time for all schools involved.
Right.
And so I support his decision 100%. I think that we just, but we need to, and I've told them this. We just got to look at it differently down the road and make sure that we've got a good plan the next time that, and it may not happen another 20 years.
Right.
Hopefully it won't.
Yeah. Well, it's always something to consider, and it'll be, I think you'll have the Coffee County Packers in that discussion, certainly, whenever we're talking about the playoffs and the state championship again, because you got a lot of talent back, as we talked about, and it sounds like everything's going in the right direction, Coach. Always appreciate your time, man, and we'll be talking to you later on this summer.
All right, man. Just call anytime.
Thank you,
Chris.
Thanks, Rush. Take care. Rush Pope, head coach Packers, joining us tonight on the Kerrigan Davis Hotline here on the Monday nights. Show, the High School Football Report, brought to you by Ray Norton Tire and Auto. We talked about Jay Ward, is a starting safety who got a scholarship offer today from the University of Alabama. Tell you some more guys, including some Coffee County Packers and from other schools as well, who've gotten some big offers over the last week. Lots going on. Stay tuned as we broadcast from the Citizens Community Bank Studios. This is the High School Football Report, brought to you by Ray Norton Tire and Auto. We'll have more right after this.
And now, more of the High School Football Report. Here's Chris Beckham.
Once again, back inside the Citizens Community Bank Studios on this Monday night. It's the High School Football Report, brought to you by our friends at Ray Norton Tire and Auto Center, 2606 Bemis Road, right here in Tylertown, USA. Hey, listen, during the summer clearance sale going on at Ray Norton Tire and Auto, listen to this now. They have several different cars. They got a Ford Fusion, Dodge Dart, Kia Optima, Kia Sorento, that's just a few of them. And with all of those fantastic deals that they've got, you get free nitrogen, free oil changes, and free tire rotations for 1 year with any car they sell. 3,000-mile, three-month warranty on all cars. Go to RayNorton.com for pictures or stop by for a test drive today. Open Monday through Friday, 8 to 6, Saturday, 8 to 5, right next to Morningside Baptist Church right there on Bemis Road. All right, let's go to the Kerrigan Davis Hotline, 229-241-1059. If you have a question or comment concerning high school football, you are in the correct place. Hello, caller. How are you?
Chris Beckham, Steve Parker. Good afternoon, sir.
How are you, my friend?
Man, I'm good. I'm good. I just got a question for you. How is Georgia going to win the national championship if they had to play Coffman this year?
Well, I think it depends on if they play in Moultrie or Athens. That's going to be what Vegas looks like to determine that point spread. Isn't that incredible, the kind of talent he's got over there?
Wow. I mean, he just kept talking about D1 this, D1 that. Very, very impressive.
Yeah, it really is. He's got a lot of guys. We try to keep up with the offers on Twitter, and we keep a running list of those. And, I mean, just in the last week now, we're going to talk about some offers. Kamara Bell, the offensive lineman, he got one from Auburn on March 31st. Kamari Lewis got his first offer from Jacksonville on that same day. Ryan Fitzgerald, the great kicker, got another offer from South Alabama. Rashard Revels got one from Nevada. I mean, just on and on and on and on. They're piling them up.
Wow. They're going to be a fun team to watch. I didn't hear every minute of the interview. I had to take a couple of calls. What's the quarterback situation for Cox?
Yeah, basically, that's the big question. J.C. Harden, who was a rising junior, was a backup last year as a sophomore, and you know, he went into spring. Marvion McDonald's a wide receiver that they moved over to kind of battle and give J.C. some competition there at quarterback. And, you know, according to Coach Probst, he said, you know, neither one of them really stepped up and grabbed that job. So that will continue through the summer. He said, you know, he's not even – he doesn't have a problem if it continues into the season. Usually that's not something that they've had to go through in Moultrie, but that's not to say it can't work. And so I think both of those young men will, you know, be battling for that starting quarterback spot. But with that offensive line and with those two running backs and with that defense – they're going to, I think, have some time to grow up, although they got a great schedule. But I think that may be a position this year where you kind of manage the game, so to speak.
Yeah, I think you're right, Chris. Based on what I heard, it was impressive. And I don't know how they're going to stack up against everybody else in their region, but I got news for you. I wouldn't want to play them.
Yes, they're going to be loaded again. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch for Packer fans. They got a tough schedule now. They go right down the line. They got heavyweight after heavyweight, but I think they'll fare just fine.
Well, Coach Probst always likes to schedule tough teams, and you got to hand it to him. He never backs off of a tough schedule.
That's right. He'll play whoever, whenever, and we're going to see some of that. 10 weeks from Friday night, my friend.
Looking forward to it, Chris Beckham.
And listen, because you happen to miss a lot, I got good news for you. You can check out our podcast, which we'll have up by around 7:30 or 7:45, depending on everything works right. And so if you can go back and listen to it in its entirety, there you are, my friend.
You don't miss anything, Chris Beckham. All right, we enjoyed your show, man. Thanks for the interview with Coach Probst tonight. And the whole show has been a great show. So, and Randall as well.
We'll get you into your suit, my friend. Take care.
Okay, my friend. Take care.
See you. There you go. Steve Parker with Kerrigan Davis, the Kerrigan Davis Financial Group, at kerrigandavis.com. And I think maybe the only thing Steve likes talking about more than football is how to take care of your money, and he will do just that. We'll go back to the Kerrigan Davis Hotline on this Monday night. Hello, caller. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
Great.
Is this Chris?
This is.
Okay, Chris, this is Marty Busbin.
Hey, Marty, how are you?
Remember?
Yes.
I'm good. How are you?
Great, great.
I just wanted to let you all know that Rashad is in Minnesota.
Rashad Bateman. Yes. The talented Tift County wide receiver has made it up north.
Yep. He went up Saturday. I'm on the air. He met his teammates Sunday and got settled in his dorm, and his first game is going to be in August.
I tell you, if you have to go to Minnesota to get moved in, June's a good time. I'd recommend it over January.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I really think he's going to do great things up there. I really do.
He's going to be super.
He is. So I'm excited to see.
He's got good goals.
Well, he is. I was looking at a college football magazine, Marty. Just the new ones have just come out, by the way. And for each college football program in America, it lists their top recruits. Rashad was the number two top-rated recruit that Minnesota got this year. I know that they've got great expectations for him up there. And knowing the kind of young man he is, I think he's ready to exceed those expectations.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah. He's a member of our church, and we're really praying for him.
A bunch of Golden Gopher fans in that church now.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. So I just wanted to let you know, because I knew you were pulling for him.
Hey, we all are. Marty, great to hear from you. Appreciate that update.
Good. Okay, thank you.
Take care now.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You know, Rashad, he is, of course, a fantastic football player for Ashley Andrews Blue Devils. Over the last several years, great basketball player as well. Just going to be playing football at Minnesota, but I would not be surprised at all if he gets a lot of reps as a true freshman up there. Unbelievable talent. Some of the other players over the last week who've gotten college football offers over at Lee County, Griffin Carter is a big offensive lineman. He's picked up offers from Georgia Southern, also Coastal Carolina. Also Lee County, incoming quarterback Kyle Toole has not played a snap. Jace Orndorff has been the starter the last couple of years, and he signed to play at a community college. Kyle Toole, the incoming quarterback, has already received his first offer from Howard University. I mentioned the Conquest County players. I don't know if I mentioned Cam Barnes, the offensive lineman. He got his first offer from Shorter. Also, Raekwon Anderson, very talented player over at Charlton County, picked up another offer from the University of Connecticut. Willie Brown, now he is a 2020 rising junior player. Did not play in the spring game. He plays for Valdosta High School. Was injured, did not play during the spring game, but he's picked up his first offer from Monmouth University. Jaheim Bell, who did play the spring game and looked fantastic for Valdosta, he picked up an offer from Coach Khaki Pants, Jim Harbaugh, the Michigan Wolverines. Not too shabby. And then the great story of Deion Fountain, wide receiver from Brooks County High School. This young man has got it on the field. He has it in the classroom. Remember, several weeks back, we told you that he had received an offer from Columbia University, an Ivy League school, just in the past week. Picked up offers from Lane Kiffin at Florida Atlantic, from Southern Miss, from Coastal Carolina, from the Mercer Bears, and from the Big Green of Dartmouth. That's a pretty impressive resume for a very impressive young man over at Brooks County High School, Deion Fountain. And again, that is not an all-inclusive list. We have a lot of offers this time of year that are going out. I mentioned Jay Ward, who was camping over at University of Alabama over the weekend, defensive back for University of Alabama. Coach mentioned his brother played college football. Johnny Ward was a defensive back down for the South Florida Bulls. Finished up his eligibility a couple of years ago, I believe. But Jay Ward picked up an offer from Alabama. So a lot of men South Georgia, and a lot of them continue to pick up those offers. And that's exciting to see. We watch them on Friday nights. We kind of think of it in terms of teams. But these are young men who are trying to get a college education to better their athletics their entire lives. So when you hear these offers come up, that's a big deal for them. It's a big deal for us. And we congratulate each and every one of them. All right, been a great show. Thanks so much. Remember, follow us on social media. If you're on Twitter, HSF Report on Twitter, The High School Football Report on Facebook as well. Next week, I've talked earlier about we've been going through the schedules to determine who has the toughest schedules in the state, not just here in South Georgia, but in the state. We will give you fact-based, not fake news, based on fact, on win-loss records from last year. We'll go through all those next week. And again, if you want to listen to our podcast, we'll have it posted on our social media here in the next half hour, so you can go back if you happen to miss part of the show and listen to it again. Thanks to our great friends at Kerrigan Davis, our great friends at Citizens Community Bank, and, of course, Ray Norton Tire and Auto. We hope you have a fantastic week, and we'll see you next Monday right here on the High School Football Report.